Let us pray.
Holy Healer, Shepherd of life, we come to you seeking light on the way. Give us a sight that grants us a glimpse of your vision, of your kingdom. Walk with us as we make our stumbling way. We ask this and all things in the strong name of Christ, our brother and Savior. Amen. Over the past few weeks, the gospel writer John has been telling us some pretty significant and pretty amazing stories. Just 2 weeks ago, we heard about Nicodemus, the Pharisee. But it wasn't about him going and trying to trap Christ in the midst of a crowd. No, he went in the night, seeking the counsel of Jesus. He was trying to understand what Jesus had been teaching, trying to deepen his own faith. Last week, tired from his journey and finding himself in Samaria, he asks a woman from the area to get him a drink. It's a simple question today, but one that no Jewish-born man would ask a Samaritan woman in those days. Initially, she was scandalized, not herself, she was scandalized for him, that he would ask her such a thing. She went on to learn of living water and the gift that Christ comes to offer. This week is no different. Another encounter with Christ. Here, a blind man. Christ seeks him out, uses his healing hands, touches this man physically and spiritually. But other than all these stories involving Jesus Christ, what ties them together? What thread can we see in the tapestry that John, the gospel writer, is presenting here? Each person who encountered Christ comes from a different walk of life, different backgrounds. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, though one who genuinely wants to engage Christ and not expose him as a fraud. The woman at the well seems to be just a Samaritan woman. She's of such great import that she's not even given a name. And the blind man from today's story, similarly unnamed, had always been a blind man, trapped on the fringes of society, a society that cared little for his welfare. These three people seemingly share nothing in common. But the readings from the last 2 weeks are worth a second look, because the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus, they're not so different from one another. Nicodemus was conflicted. He was told by his peers and his superiors how to think of this man Jesus, a man who breaks the laws, breaks the Sabbath. But he feels that there's something more to this man from Galilee. He doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about right away. But he does come to believe that Christ is the Messiah. When we read about the encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, we learn that for a Jew to even be in the presence of a Samaritan was not an acceptable thing. We saw how Christ was able to cross that boundary and not only befriend this woman, but many other people in the town. We also see how the perspectives of those who would have been reading and hearing this passage the first time centuries ago would have been forced to change how they look at things, forced to change how they perceive society and other cultures, to reevaluate how they look at their neighbors. Before, Samaritans were looked down upon. But after Christ's encounter, he asks them to change their mind. So in both of these stories, we see perspectives change. We see assumptions shattered in some ways. Our third story, which is today's healing, can hold some of the same lessons. Now, the man in this third passage was born blind. We've heard that a lot today. And no one's denying that fact. Indeed, it seems to be the only thing that anyone in the reading can agree on. He was born blind. His parents, Pharisees, commoners in the street. This man was blind. We know that. But then he met Christ. And after that encounter, he was a changed man. No longer blind to what the world might be. No longer relegated to the fringes. No longer limited by a label, but free. Freed by the love that Christ showed. And here we find that common thread, that thing that ties these three people together. Because all three of them went into that encounter with Christ in one way and came out another. In a way, they went in as one person and came out as a completely different person, transformed by the encounter that they had with the divine, with the Christ. This is what happens when people come seeking Christ honestly and eagerly. They are transformed by the touch of His hand on their lives. Isn't that supposed to be what's happening here? We come to worship, yes. We come to give thanks, yes. But we should also come seeking to be transformed by the risen and living Christ. Too often, though, we're more akin to those who question the truth of the man once blind. Even with the miracle standing before us, we are more eager to dismiss than to believe. We, like those who question the man once blind, are running around and we're saying, "We can see, we can see." When the truth is, we blind ourselves to the kingdom of God's love. What we see is a world of our own creation, one that feeds our want rather than serving the needs of those around us. We allow it to block our vision to stay the hand of Christ, while at the same time crying out to Him and to God to save us, to save the world. The truth is, Christ can be limited. We see it when He goes to His hometown. To those who watched Him grow up, there they couldn't get past who they thought He was. They couldn't get past that to allow themselves to be changed by what He had become. We are just like them. We're just like the rich man who asked Christ what he must do to gain eternal life, but could not accept the answer. Just like Nicodemus. Just like the Samaritan woman, and just like the man born blind, we encounter Christ in our own lives. But in order to become a transformed people, our hearts have to be open to it. Not just willing to be transformed, but knowing that we must be transformed. That's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing, to accept that we are not complete people. To accept that we can't finish the work alone. But we come to this place, and we engage the divine in our day-to-day lives. And we do so not to revel in our own perfection, but to lay bare our brokenness, to offer it to the one who mends, who makes whole. Church is for the broken. It's for the beaten down. It's for the depressed and the downtrodden. It's a place where we can be vulnerable without the fear of being taken advantage of. Or it should be. Here, in all the messy sin that makes up our lives, we meet Christ. And He embraces us. And from here, He leads us to new lives, transformed lives. One of the church's favorite psalms, the 23rd Psalm that Dow read, it reminds us of all of this. That in Christ, that in God, we find all that we could ever need. In the chaos and the struggle of our lives, we are led to still waters. When we are exhausted by the weight of our worries and concerns, Christ offers us green pastures to lay down in. And even when the world turns to darkness, He is the light on our way. Allow yourselves to be led by that shepherd again. Show Him who you are, all that you are, all that you're proud of, all that you're not. Take His hand and allow Him to transform you with His healing touch. Because we can still be a transformed people today. Because no one is so lost that they cannot find their way again. No darkness is so deep that the light of Christ cannot shine through. And no one is so broken that they cannot be loved into wholeness. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.